Good morning to everybody. Good morning and welcome to our chapel. I just have a brief announcement regarding something tonight, and this is a very unique opportunity for all of you. And if you look down at the bottom of the page for today, you'll see that there's a gentleman coming to speak on campus tonight in the seminar room of Meyer Hall. His name is Jardin Patrick. He's a medical doctor from Pakistan who came to faith in the gospel in Christ and has become connected to Lutheranism through the Wisconsin Synod and has been trying to promote Christianity in Pakistan. Because of threats on his life, he has to be here now in the United States for a little while. He owns a hospital. He owns a television station and has been trying to broadcast the message of the gospel in Pakistan. You will not get another opportunity to hear something this different in your life. I just encourage you to come tonight at 7 o'clock in Meyer Hall, the seminar room, to hear him speak. We begin with the singing of our first hymn. Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 7. These words follow on the heels of a conversation Jesus had with some of the disciples of John the Baptist, who at the time was in prison, and they had come to find out more about Christ. And we hear these words as Jesus then turns to address the crowd. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." A number of years ago, my accountant died. He was the gentleman that was helping my wife and me do our taxes year after year. He supposedly was a specialist in clergy tax laws, which are a little bit strange. And since I know so little about all that, I would pay him to do them every year and just sign the documents. So I had to suddenly go and hire a new accountant. And I found a new accountant here in Mankato, very capable man. And he asked if I would bring in my last 5 years of tax records, which I did. And he called me a few hours later and he said, "Would you please come down and meet with me?" Turned out that the guy that had been doing my taxes had been farming them out to other people who were not specialists in clergy tax laws. And I now owed the IRS thousands of dollars, more than $10,000. And I could tell this was really, really difficult for him. I'm his brand new client, brand new customer, and he has to now sit and tell me this horrible news. So what do you want in your accountant? Do you want someone who tells you what you want to hear, or someone who tells you what you need to hear? What do you want in your doctor? Do you want somebody who tells you what you want to hear, or someone who tells you what you really need to hear? But most importantly, what do you want in your pastor? Do you want somebody who tells you what you want to hear, or do you want somebody who's going to tell you what you need to hear? In recent years, we've kind of grown accustomed to hearing about beheadings with the horrible ISIS terrorist group. Scripture speaks of a beheading that probably followed within weeks or months after this text today, and that of John the Baptist. And he had his head taken off by Herod Antipas because he had spoken up against the king's adulterous relationship, taking his sister-in-law to be his wife. And he is now in prison, awaiting what would ultimately be where he would be executed. And the reason John had that happen to him is because he spoke the truth. He spoke what needed to be said. John's work and his soon-to-becoming death, Jesus would have us, through hearing these things in Scripture, confront this very crucial question for ourselves. What are you looking for in those who will guide you in your spiritual life? What are you looking for in a pastor? What are you looking for with those who are responsible to take care of your soul and the souls of your children, maybe your grandchildren someday? I remember years ago I helped conduct a voters meeting that was trying to find a new pastor for a congregation. And after all these people had been expressing things they wanted in their new pastor, what would you like him to be like? And people were throwing ideas out and all the things and qualities they wanted. And I remember an old guy came up to me afterwards and he said, "I think what we were saying was we would like him to be about 30 years old with about 25 years of experience." A lot of times we can kind of latch on to the wrong things, if you will, when we're looking for someone to be a shepherd over souls. The number one qualification for a pastor is not that he be an interesting speaker. It certainly helps, but that's really not the number one qualification. It's not that he be good with kids, although that's a great quality. It's not that he has the best building in town to work from, although that's certainly nice. It's not that he has the best youth activities or a really cool jungle gym outside in the parking lot. But from God's perspective, the number one reason to look for a pastor is this: is he faithful to the Word of God? Is he faithful to the truth that needs to be taught, spoken, and preached and proclaimed? Because when it comes down to it, your pastor's number one reason for being in that office is to get you and me ready to stand in front of God on the day of judgment. That's it. That's the whole purpose of the ministry, right there in a nutshell. Years ago, there was a really popular preacher in England, and apparently a man had gone in to hear him preach. He was known for being a very, very popular orator, and after this man came out of the church service having heard this tremendous preacher, apparently he said to someone with him, and who was a member of the church, "You sure have a great preacher here." The next Sunday, he went to another congregation where apparently it wasn't quite as great of an orator, a much smaller church, but clearly heard law and gospel. And on his way out, he said, "You have a great Savior here." And that's really what the ministry is all about. The purpose of the ministry is to make sure that people have a knowledge of their Savior implanted in their hearts. I have an uncle who died years ago, but he was a pastor out in Garden Grove, California. And in that same community, there was a church by a pastor by the name of Robert Schuller. You guys are too young to remember him, but he was the Joel Osteen of his day. He was the big TV preacher and built what's now known as Crystal Cathedral. And he had coffee with my uncle one day, and he told my uncle, he was kind of on his way up at the time, and his church was getting bigger, and he told my uncle, you know, I used to preach more from the Bible, but I found out that people really don't like to hear that anymore. Look at what Jesus asks the crowd in our text. Look at the questions that he asks them. What did you go out to see when you went out to hear John? Did you go out to hear him because he dressed nice? He's a good-looking guy. Hey, camel's hair is really in right now. Was it because he told you what you want to hear? Was it because he was willing to kind of bend and flow around with the winds of change going on in the world today? Boy, people can rush after churches that do that like crazy. Was it because he had a certain way about him? No, you went out to hear him, Jesus says, because he was a prophet, a true prophet of God. He spoke God's truth. He was one who truly, properly prepares people's hearts for the coming Savior. He's not in it for popularity or for wealth. He's not in it for building up numbers. He's not in it to just follow the blowing trends in society. He's there to simply proclaim God's word. And if you look at John's sermons that we have little snippets of in the Gospels, you can sure see this. Boy, did he use some sharp law with people. You brood of vipers, he says to the church leaders of his day. He says, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The ministry of God's word in every age is identically the same. We may dress different, we may adorn our churches different, but the message and the work itself is essentially always the same. The lesser work that we do is to proclaim God's law that goes down into our consciences, shows us our sin, and why we need what happened on Calvary. But the greater work is just like John the Baptist, to point us to the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. And by the way, that means your sin. If he's come to do it for the world, he's come to do it just for you. And if there's anything that John wanted his hearers to know, and what Christ wants anyone who preaches his word to have their hearers know, it's that this Savior, that we're going to celebrate his birth in a few weeks, came for you. And the work that he did was entirely for you, along with all of humanity. Right after this text, right before this text, at the end of his discussion with John the Baptist's two disciples that came to ask him if he was the Christ, and he sends them back. But right at the end of that conversation before our text, Jesus said these words, I think, to encourage John who was in prison. And it's words that I'm going to say to you to close today too, because they're very encouraging for all of us. He says, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Amen. Let's rise and join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.